monochrome, sunlight shines between the leaves and trunks of trees in a tropical jungle. Water drips onto plants on the jungle floor. A tiger springs from behind a bush, its orange, black and white markings vivid against the monochrome. In white letters, Mandalay Pictures, a Lionsgate company. Red and white block letters against a black background. Mandalay Pictures presents, in association with KC Median and MP Film Management, a Reparage production. Behind a tangle of snow-encrusted branches, a wolf's ear twitches. Twigs and undergrowth obscure its face. One fawn-coloured eye stares from the snow-laden trees. A rifle's muzzle and sight poke out between branches, the barrel of the gun bound in white cloth. The rifle wavers. With alert eyes, the wolf watches. A thin, black, rectangular rest supports the gun. A young boy's face is half hidden by a rock as one eye stares down the sight of the rifle. He wears an animal skin hat with fur lining.
I am a stone. I do not move.
The wolf pads forward through the undergrowth.
Very slowly, I put snow in my mouth. Then he won't see my breath.
The wolf skirts the edge of the wood. A grey horse is tethered to a tree stump in the middle of a clearing. Beside the boy.
I do not tremble. I have no fear. I'm a big boy now.
The wolf emerges from the wood. The rifle shakes.
Ready, Vasily?
The wolf starts to run.
Now, Vasily! Fire! Fire, Vasily! Fire!
Framed by two red parallel lines, the words, "Enemy at the gates." In the cattle truck of a train, young soldiers in khaki uniform stand huddled together. Cold light shines on their grim faces. Vasily, a handsome man in his early 20s, wears his forage cap with the Russian Red Star badge on the front. His brown eyes stare pensively towards the light of the open truck door. A young soldier stands there scanning the flat landscape. Behind him, a young, pretty, dark-haired girl, Tanya, sits and reads a book. She wears a grey coat with black edges. She looks up from her book and Vasily glances down at her. Their eyes meet and he quickly looks away towards the open door. She gazes at him, then lowers her head to read. The train slows down. Russian officers stand by the side of the track and young, dishevelled soldiers sit on the ground. They stand up slowly. Officers push their men towards the train.
This is a military convoy. No one stands on board but our valiant soldiers.
The train engine is uncoupled and moves along the track. The civilians descend from the cattle trucks and soldiers climb aboard. Officers padlock the doors. A black engine with metal deflectors, a red star and two horns fixed to its boiler, reverses an armor-plated truck with gun turrets onto the train. An anti-aircraft truck piled high with sandbags is in front of the engine. Vasily looks at Tanya through the bars of a truck window. With the civilians, she watches the train depart.
Autumn 1942. Europe lies crushed beneath the Nazi jackboot.
A map of Europe.
The German Third Reich is at the height of its power. Hitler's armies are charging through the heart of the Soviet Union towards the oil fields of Asia. One last obstacle remains. A city on the Volga where the fate of the world is being decided. Stalingrad.
A black stain spreads across the political map of Europe, discoloring the red of Russia. It covers the name Stalingrad, but stops by ruined buildings on the city's riverbank. Soldiers' heads rock back and forth with the train's rhythm. Vasily stares at his cramped, huddled comrades as they sit, glum-faced on the truck floor. The train lurches to a halt.
The Soviet soil! Let's fight to the last!
September the 20th, 1942. Frightened soldiers recoil and stare from the open trucks as officers, revolvers in hand, drag them out. One officer holds a red flag aloft and shouts through a megaphone. Officers haul at Vasily and the other soldiers, propelling them down a hill towards the banks of the Volga. An assortment of rowing boats and steamboats are crossing the river, with large columns of black smoke rising from the burning city on the opposite bank. A pleasure boat with a ragged canvas canopy is moored at the small pier. The soldiers scramble onto the vessel as officers fire into the air. The boat, with a ripped red flag at its bow, crosses the Volga. Vasily looks at the bloodied human limbs floating on the surface. On board, an officer reads.
Listen to these letters sent by Russian mothers to their sons on the front. Volodya, my child, I know that it's for our motherland. I know that it's for our motherland that you are giving your life.
The soldiers crouch and huddle in the craft, some with their hands over their ears. Bombs explode between the boats, the spray soaking the cowering men.
And everyone here knows that you will not fall back! Everyone here is proud of you! Your father is dead! Your brothers are dead! Avengers are the hordes of fascists!
A squadron of Stukas dive from the sky. Their spray of machine gun bullets cut through the canopy and hit soldiers in the neck, the head, the chest and the back. Blood explodes from their injuries. An officer aims his machine gun directly overhead as a Stuka plummets towards the boat. It drops a bomb, which obliterates a small boat. A larger vessel explodes in a mushroom of flames. Vasily crouches at the bottom of the craft with the other soldiers as another Stuka dive bombs, spraying them with bullets. Officers push soldiers back into the boat as they attempt to abandon the vessel.
Get in the boat! Get back or I shoot! Back for the rails! Or we shoot! Shoot that strike!
Four soldiers jump overboard. The officers shoot them in the water and blood spurts from their wounds. They float on the surface, lifeless. Vasily, wide-eyed, crouches low in the boat. Flames and smoke shroud the city. An officer holds his revolver aloft as the boat comes into dock. City of Stalingrad, docks. Civilians and soldiers rush around the bomb-scarred docks. Wounded soldiers lie on the ground and smoke billows around a Red Cross ambulance. The officers haul the soldiers from the boat. Vasily jumps onto the dock. He turns and looks into the bottom of the boat, awash with blood and dead bodies. A soldier with his arm blown off is carried on a stretcher. The men weave their way through the lines of injured soldiers on stretchers. Soldiers with holes in their back, chest and stomach. One has a leg missing.
The one with the rifle shoots!
One out of two!
Follows him! When the one with a rifle gets killed, the one who is following picks up the rifle and shoots! The one with the rifle shoots! The one without follows him! When the one with the rifle gets killed, the one who is following picks up the rifle and shoots!
An officer with a megaphone stands on the back of a truck. Another issues a rifle to every second soldier. Vasily is given a handful of bullets. He glances at the grey, smoke-filled cityscape. Soldiers trudge across open ground towards bomb-ravaged buildings. Vasily's company scramble up a steep hill, following the line of a roughly hewn trench. The shells of demolished buildings surround a crater-strewn city square.
Soldiers of the glorious Red Army, from now on, it is either victory or death! Those who retreat,
I need a rifle,
will be shot!
I need a rifle.
There will be no mercy for cowards and traitors!
Achtung! Einstellungen!
German infantry lie behind piles of rubble. Their rifles point across the square. A Russian officer blows a whistle. Vasily and his comrades clamber over rubble and rush towards the German line. One officer carries a red flag and a revolver. Other officers, with machine guns and revolvers, stand in the rear. Vasily, his mouth wide open and screaming, crouches low and charges, flanked by comrades carrying rifles. Two soldiers wheel a small Sten gun into the rear position. The Russians sprint across open ground. German tanks and armoured vehicles flank their own infantry line. Shells explode, sending shrapnel high into the air. Russian soldiers fall, their arms flailing. Bullets from the German rifles and machine guns rip into the advancing Russians. An infantryman is shot and blood explodes from his chest. As he falls, his rifle flies out of his hands and lands on top of a corpse. Vasily bends to grab the gun, but another soldier snatches it away from him and lurches onwards. Blood spurts from a leg wound. Bullets riddle a man's chest. Soldiers fall lifeless to the ground as shells explode around Vasily. He weaves his way through the carnage. A Russian soldier signals to his comrades to retreat. The officers in the rear stand beside a fluttering red Russian flag and fire at their retreating comrades. An infantryman feeds the Sten gun with rounds of bullets, while another cuts the soldiers down in a hail of shots. Their bodies are peppered with bullet holes, and blood bursts from their wounds. Spent bullet cartridges pile up around the smoking Sten gun. One soldier carries a wounded colleague. Another convulses on the ground as he is sprayed with gunfire. Smoke billows around the ravaged square, which is littered with Russian corpses.
Russian, surrender! You will see your home again. This is not your war. Join your German comrades. They understand your suffering and will care more for you than your own officers, who are only sending you to your death. The Third Reich is not your enemy. The enemy is bloodthirsty Stalin.
Two crows peck at the face of a dead soldier. A mangled, smoking carcass lies in front of a wrecked, burnt-out building. An old tram car is alight in the middle of the square, and sporadic fires crackle in the gloom. An army staff car speeds round a corner, skirts the side of the tram, and weaves its way through the debris, avoiding exploding shells. A German armoured car fires at the vehicle, which hits a mound of rubble, flips onto its roof and crashes on its side. Pamphlets in Russian burst from the car and flutter in the air. White letters. Never will the enemy put his foot on the soil of Stalingrad. A young Russian officer jumps from the upturned car and staggers towards a ruined fountain. He reaches its rim, rolls onto the ledge, and drops into the empty basin floor. A German tank, flanked by several infantrymen, trundles into the square. The Russian officer, Danilov, crawls across the basin floor, which is littered with corpses. In the centre, he peers through the legs of a circular statue of children holding hands. Two tanks rumble toward the fountain. Danilov lies down and pulls a dead soldier's leg onto his shoulder. He remains motionless. As the tanks roll past, a German officer sitting on the tank's turret machine guns the Russian corpses sprawled across the basin floor. The infantrymen stand on the basin rim and spray the carcasses with gunfire, blood spurting from the bodies. They narrowly miss Danilov. The Germans step down from the fountain's rim and follow the tanks across the square. Breathing heavily, Danilov pushes the dead soldier's leg from his shoulder and sits up. He vomits, then crawls over the corpses to the basin rim. Wearing wire-rimmed glasses, he sees a German soldier carrying buckets of water in the ground floor room of a wrecked building across the square. Danilov, his face streaked with blood and hands blackened with dirt, hauls a rifle from underneath the body. Through a crack in the basin rim, he aims at the German.
You'll get us caught. Comrade Commissar.
Vasily lies against the fountain statue, his arm over his face. Danilov glances at him, then points the rifle at the German. Danilov lies back in frustration, his breath exhaling in the cold air. His hands shake as he fumbles with the rifle's bolt. Vasily crawls to him.
With your permission, Comrade Commissar.
He holds out his hand and Danilov gives him the rifle. Vasily slides back the bolt as Danilov looks at the ruined building and at a fat German colonel with his aide. Vasily loads a clip of 5 rounds, licks his fingers and sets the sights. As the fat colonel undresses, Vasily hands the rifle back to Danilov, who aims through the cracked rim. Vasily peers through a smaller crack. The colonel is stripped to the waist.
Which one do you think I should aim at first? You should wait till there's an explosion.
The colonel steps behind a pile of rubble. A metal shower can, suspended above him, wets his bald head.
Did you notice you? A little.
Danilov hands the rifle to Vasily, who crawls over to a hole in the basin rim. A German staff car enters the square and pulls up beside the ruined building. 3 soldiers get out. 2 climb into the building. 1 stands beside the car. Danilov peers over the edge of the rim, then lies back. Vasily aims through the hole. 2 Germans look through their pockets for cigarettes. The colonel's aide brushes his cap as the colonel pulls the shower chain. The soldier by the car walks towards the fountain. Danilov peeks over the rim, sees him, and ducks down quickly.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! He's looking at us!
The German soldier, with a machine gun, walks towards the fountain. Vasily aims at the colonel. Blood erupts from the top of the colonel's head. Vasily reloads as Danilov peers over the rim. Vasily aims at the aide as he notices the dead colonel. A bullet smashes through the aide's forehead. The German soldier with the machine gun sees him fall and lies flat on the ground. As one of the soldiers turns away to light a cigarette, Vasily shoots his colleague in the side of the head. The soldier on the ground prepares to throw a hand grenade. Vasily shoots him through his helmet. The remaining soldier, with cigarette in mouth, turns and runs into the ruined building. Vasily stands up, aims, and shoots him in the head. Vasily drops to the ground. He looks at Danilov, who pushes his glasses to the top of his head. Vasily rolls over, and with the rifle in one hand, crawls across to Danilov.
Thank you, Comrade Commissar.
He gives the rifle to Danilov, who nods, smiles, and offers his hand to Vasily.
Danilov, political officer, second class, 21st Infantry.
He clasps Vasily's hand. Displaced earth and dust rain down on a soldier who turns the handle of a small printing press which churns out white pamphlets in Russian. Danilov picks up a sheet and hands it to Vasily.
Vasily Zaitsev. On this day, September the 20th, 1942, a young shepherd boy from the Urals.
The room shakes. Danilov looks around nervously.
Arrived in the city of Stalingrad on the banks of the Volga. His name is Vasily Zaitsev. Like thousands before him, he came to answer Comrade Stalin's call. Armed only with a rifle, he quickly made the fascist invader realize that from now on, he would be punished for every step he took in the motherland. That from here on, the only way was back. What do you think?
I think Comrade Commissar has been overgenerous.
White letters. September the 22nd, 1942. A Russian gunboat crosses the smoke-wreathed Volga. Sailors with rifles and bayonets stand on the deck. The boat approaches the dock, where Russian soldiers struggle with a throng of panic-stricken civilians. Clasping their belongings, they push and shove at the troops.
By order of Comrade Stalin, no civilians can leave the city!
The sailors point their bayonets at the civilians. An officer on board salutes a short, thick-set man, Khrushchev, as he steps onto the deck. Khrushchev wears a heavy, fur-lined coat and Russian fur hat. He climbs onto the dock.
Back or we shoot!
Make way for Comrade Stalin's envoy!
Khrushchev stands with his back to a sweating Russian general.
I carried out my orders. I sent in all of my boys. But the Germans engulfed us. They have artillery, aircraft, tanks. And me, what did I have?
The sacred duty to resist.
I have to report to the boss. Perhaps you'd prefer to avoid the red tape.
Khrushchev slides a gun across the table and leaves the office. The general puts it in his mouth. In the corridor, Khrushchev addresses officers. Danilov is in the second row, one lens of his glasses cracked. The officers flinch, and Khrushchev steps towards them.
My name is Nikita Sergeyevich Khrushchev. I've come to take things in hand here. This city is not Kursk, nor is it Kiev. Nor Minsk. This city is Stalingrad. Stalingrad! This city bears the name of the boss. It's more than a city, it's a symbol. If the Germans capture this city, the entire country will collapse. Now, I want our boys to raise their heads. I want them to act like they have balls! I want them to stop shitting their pants! That's your job. As political officers, I'm counting on you. You. What's your suggestion?
Shoot all the other generals who have retreated. And their chiefs of staff, too.
Make some examples. Deport the families of the deserters.
That's all been done.
Give them hope!
Khrushchev turns and strides down the line of soldiers. He hauls an officer aside and glowers at Danilov.
Here, the men's only choice is between German bullets and ours. But there's another way. The way of courage. The way of love of the motherland. We must publish the army newspaper again. We must tell magnificent stories, stories that exalt sacrifice, bravery. We must make them believe in a victory. We must give them hope, pride, a desire to fight. Yes, we need to make examples, but examples to follow. What we need our heroes.
Do you know any heroes around here?
Yes, comrade. I know one.
Vasily looks at a large press printing a broadsheet newspaper.
That's me. Vasily Zaitsev.
It's me.
No! You're not dreaming! It's your name! We made the front page! They haven't changed the word!
Do you have any idea what this means? It's not the back page. It's not the second page. It's the front page. The front page! They're going to reprint our article everywhere, in the Caucasus, in the Crimea, even in the Urals.
Tomorrow morning, Stalin himself will be sitting over breakfast, reading my words, memorizing your name. We're famous, Vasily. Khrushchev loved the article. He's promoted me to the general staff. And you to sniper division.
Well, that's good.
It's very good.
It's very good. It's great.
It's very it's great. Great. It's great. It's great. It's for both of us because we did it together. Together.
Although, admittedly, I did all the hard work.
Oh, yeah?
You know, you're very lucky I can't fight back.
Why is that?
Because Khrushchev told me to make sure nothing happens to you. You're too important.
I'm too valuable.
Yes. Careful of my glasses, please.
They're new. Sorry, sir.
I'm sorry. I'm famous.
I'm famous.
We're famous.
I'm famous.
Vasily, the young shepherd from the Urals, killed his 12th German officer today.
Wolves, now he shoots fashion. Hey, Vasily Zaitsev shot his
23rd. Colonel shot by Vasily
Zaitsev. He is an example to us all.
Hey, Vasily Zaitsev killed his 32nd German officer.
He has the patience of a
person
who is 46th German officer.
How many Germans you have killed? Today, Vasily Zaitsev.
Here is the evidence. 11 dog tags retrieved by sniper Vasily Zaitsev.
Fighter knows and reveres.
54th
More and more men and women, fighters from all branches of our armed forces, volunteer to join the sniper division and learn the skills of Vasily Zaitsev.
A pile of rubble in the rafters of a ruined building.
I am a stone.
A muzzle protrudes from the debris.
I am a stone.
Vasily under old sacking.
I breathe slowly.
In the street below, German tanks rumble past a trench.
I aim at the eye.
A German soldier stands lighting a cigarette in the trench. Vasily lines up his telescopic sights on the soldier's head and gently curls his index finger around the trigger. His rifle and lens are bound in Hessian. He releases the tension on the trigger, pulls the sacking from his head, and looks down at the trench surrounded by glowing fires. A boy appears on the floor below. Vasily and two other Russian snipers raise their rifles and aim at him.
So it is you. The great Vasily Zaitsev. My mother makes the best potatoes and bacon in town.
Sounds good.
When she sees you, she won't believe her eyes.
They descend stairs.
How many today?
Only two.
And the last one? Why didn't you shoot him?
He was only a foot soldier. It wasn't worth giving away my position.
A basement room.
Bless you.
The boy's mother kisses Vasily's hands.
We know how much we owe you. We pray for you every day. Every evening we listen to them talk about you on Radio Moscow.
The boy takes Vasily's cape.
Thanks. You've certainly managed well down here.
My parents used to store furniture down here before the war.
The boy picks up the rifle.
Sasha, drop that right now.
It's loaded.
Sasha's mother blows out an oil lamp and extinguishes a lantern. Vasily cocks his rifle.
This way, Comrade Commissar.
Thank you, Comrade.
Danilov descends into the basement.
Good evening.
He nods his head and walks over to Vasily.
Comrade Zaitsev?
They stare at each other. Then embrace. Danilov puts a pile of letters on the kitchen table.
My God. Where does all this mail come from?
From all over the country, Mrs. Filipov. From all over. This one's from the workers of the Kuzbass. They want to name their mine after Vasily. Right, let's start with the miners.
Vasily smokes in the corner.
Come on, let's get to work.
Danilov pulls him from his chair and sits him at the table. Sasha watches.
Dear comrades from the Kuzbass.
Kuzbass.
I thank you for your letter of praise. R-A-I-S-E.
Vasily writes with a fountain pen.
And I hope that I can live up to your expectations.
A-G-I-O-N-S.
Expectations.
Danilov picks up a red book.
You're interested in German literature, Mrs. Philippa.
It's all right, it's our neighbour.
Sasha opens the door.
Right, where were we?
Tanya.
Expectations.
We have guests.
Your offer to name.
Danilov gazes at Tanya as she leans her rifle against the wall. She wears army uniform. Vasily stands.
I recognize you.
Vasily smiles.
It's Vasily Zaitsev.
Recognition dawns on her face and she smiles too.
I saw your picture in the paper. Thank you for everything you're doing.
And this is his friend, Commissar...
Danilov.
Danilov.
Tanya's like a daughter to me. She used to take care of Sasha when I worked at the factory. She even taught him German. All these books are hers.
Oh, they're yours.
She studied German at the university.
Which university?
Moscow.
She kisses Sasha and sits by the range, warming her hands. Danilov stares at Vasily.
Moscow.
Danilov gazes at Tanya.
Shouldn't we...
Vasily sits at the table.
Yes, let's continue.
Your offer to name your mine after me is a great honour.
He looks over Vasily's shoulder.
H-O-N.
Yes, I know. Mm. Honour.
Oh, very good.
Shouldn't we try and make the point that I'm not the only one fighting?
No, that's
excellent. Excellent idea, Vasily. Excellent. We can take it even further, though.
Oh.
Yeah, we can take it further.
Your battle for the production of coal is as worthy as mine.
There's no K in coal. Just one L. That's it. Oh, tell me if I'm going too fast.
No, you're not going.
You sure?
Too fast. I just thought... Is there any other improvements?
Why don't you get some rest? These letters can wait until tomorrow.
We should carry on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not tired. Thank you, Mrs. Philippa. These people took the trouble to write to us. Tomorrow, we may not be around to write back.
Night. A train carriage with a Red Cross and German eagle painted on its side waits at a railway junction. With steam billowing from its funnel, an engine with a red, black and white swastika flag across its boiler approaches from the opposite direction. It slows down and stops. A uniformed German officer, Major Koenig, sits alone in a wood-panelled carriage. Electric lights in a small red lamp illuminate him as he reads a book at a table by the window. The cramped, bloodied, injured soldiers in the Red Cross carriage stare across the tracks at Koenig, who glances at them and pulls down his blind. He opens a cigarette case, removes a cigarette with a gold filter, puts it in his mouth and lights it. Blue-eyed with receding fair hair, he is smart and wears the Iron Cross on his tunic collar. German headquarters, October the 21st, 1942. Rows of tanks outside barracks.
Major König, Herr General.
A German officer clicks his heels at the door to General Paulus's office. The general sits, grim-faced, in the corner by a large oak desk. He puts on his peaked hat and straightens his tunic. He descends into the tented section of the headquarters. Koenig and Paulus salute each other and shake hands.
I was expecting someone else. Certainly not someone so prestigious. I imagine you have your reasons for getting yourself involved in this hellish situation. My army is not designed for this kind of fighting. Yesterday, yet again, I had to promote 25 sergeants to replace the officers shot down by the sharpshooters. Those snipers are demoralizing my people. This city is no more than a heap of ruins. But the Führer is persisting. He has made it a personal matter between Stalin and himself.
He takes off his hat and sits. Koenig removes his hat.
Well, we should trust the Führer's instinct. He always managed to lead us to victory. We shall be back home for Christmas.
Koenig nods as Paulus stands up.
How are you going to go about finding this young Russian?
I'll fix it so that he's the one who finds me.
Filipov's basement.
Vasily. Vasily. Come on. Time to get up.
What?
They have a problem in the department store sector. They need us. Come on.
Vasily leaves with Ludmilla, a young female sniper. Danilov sleeps on a chair. Vasily runs for cover to a crashed bomber in a ruined street.
Look, Vasily. He's hiding in the department store. Over there.
Anton, a young male sniper, crouches under the plane's wing. He holds a pair of binoculars.
So far this morning, he's knocked off 5 officers, plus 2 machine gunners.
Vasily aims at a wrecked department store.
Look, 3rd floor. 4th window from the left.
4th window from the left.
Through his lens, Vasily scans across the windows.
See him?
Yeah, I see him.
He looks, targets the sight on a gap in the tangled wreckage of the smashed window. Crouching directly behind him, Ludmilla watches. He hits a German helmet.
There, you got him.
It falls to the ground.
Great shot.
He slides the bolt back and the spent cartridge springs out.
Let's go get his dog tag.
Filipov's basement.
Goodbye, Comrade Commissar.
Thank you for your hospitality, Mrs. Filipov.
Danilov ambles towards the door, looks over his shoulder, and stops to examine a bookshelf. He takes off his spectacles. Tanya drinks from a glass.
You can borrow whatever you like.
I'm not sure what they would say to me at headquarters if I came back with an armful of Goethe and Schiller.
There's some marks, too.
You were assigned to civil defense at the 12th District?
No, I volunteered.
It's such a coincidence meeting you like this. Comrade Khrushchev was telling me just yesterday how desperately we're in need of operators who speak German.
I can't. Our militia's responsible for all the people in this neighborhood. We're already desperately short of men.
We can take care of that. We'll give you a dozen soldiers for everyone that speaks German.
I'd rather stay and fight.
Serving at headquarters is fighting. You'll be far more useful there.
Underneath the crashed bomber.
You stay here. You cover us.
Right.
We go.
Take care.
Ludmilla kisses Anton. Vasily runs across the muddy ground and kneels.
Ludmilla, come on.
She runs towards him. He skirts around the side of the plane and takes cover behind a huge fallen bust of Stalin. Underneath the plane's wing, Anton picks a cigarette from his hat and puts it in his mouth. Ludmilla leans against a circular pillar. She turns her head and nods to Vasily, who scrambles across the rubble, leans against a wall, then runs round the side of the department store. A telescopic lens is trained on the wrecked plane. Anton sits smoking his cigarette. He looks up at the building, drops the cigarette, and aims his rifle. A telescopic sight focuses on his head. A bullet smashes into his forehead. He falls backwards, his rifle flying out of his hands. Vasily and Ludmilla stand on top of a pile of rubble by a large hole in the side of the building. She goes through the hole as Vasily stands guard, climbs stairs onto a small landing, and gripping her rifle with both hands, looks up the next flight. Vasily crouches behind a wooden banister a few steps below her. She creeps onto the shop floor and hides behind a wooden platform with a mannequin on it. She signals with her hand to Vasily, who steps onto the landing and stands behind the doorframe. Crouching low, he creeps into the shop floor and takes cover behind a stack of shelves. A pair of boots stand behind the legs of a mannequin on a display stand. Tiptoeing off the stand, a faceless German officer with a rifle pads stealthily among the debris. Vasily squats against a wall in a corridor, Ludmilla a few yards behind him. He points along the corridor and she shuffles by him and across a landing which overlooks the rubble-strewn central staircase of the department store. He follows her. In the shadows, on the floor above, the German's boots tiptoe by a large iron-cast hammer and sickle lying on the ground. A bust of Lenin sits on a plinth by a coat rail with a row of dusty and ragged black suits on it. A rifle's muzzle pokes out from between two suits and points across the staircase to the landing below. Vasily covers Ludmilla with his rifle as she scrambles across the floor. By the smashed window, she sees a mannequin sprawled on the ground. It wears a German tunic and a rifle is propped against its head. She turns to Vasily.
It's a trap.
I know.
Vasily lowers his rifle. Wide-eyed, Ludmilla looks around her. Her face is smudged with grime and she wears a green sniper's helmet. Through a window behind Vasily, a column of smoke rises into the air. Under his helmet, his alert eyes scan the shop floor wreckage as he sits against a wall. Ludmilla sits, open-mouthed.
Move back.
Ludmilla slides backwards and Vasily, holding his rifle close to his face, peers through a gap towards the stairwell. He lowers the rifle and looks towards a smashed doorframe across the shop floor. He crawls along the ground and stops. At the base of a pillar, he sees a cigarette butt amidst the stone rubble. He picks it up and holds it close to his face. It has a gold filter. Major Koenig's blue eye peers through a telescopic lens, its sight pointing towards the grey light of the window. Vasily fingers the cigarette tip and turns to Ludmilla.
He's still here.
Koenig's lens sweeps around the store and points at a swaying crystal chandelier suspended above the central staircase. A squadron of German bombers fly over Stalingrad, dropping shells which explode on wrecked buildings. Vasily looks upwards. Then behind him, Ludmilla looks out of a window.
They're coming straight for us!
Ludmilla, stay where you are! He's over there somewhere!
The planes swoop across the city. Fire and smoke climb high into the sky as shells rain down. Ludmilla watches the approaching bombers as Vasily crawls towards her.
We have to get out of here!
He sits behind a pillar. Bombs shatter adjacent buildings.
What are we gonna do?
Ludmilla, stay where you are!
Bombers sweep across the square outside the store. Inside, the furniture shakes violently. Petrified, Ludmilla watches as a wall of the store implodes.
Fuck this, I'm going!
She runs across the landing.
Ludmilla, no!
A bullet pierces the side of her helmet and blood gushes down her face. Dust and debris envelop Vasily as he shelters behind an upturned table. The bust of Lenin rocks on its plinth. Major Koenig lights a gold-filtered cigarette. Its tip glows red. He studies the front page of a Russian newspaper with a photograph of Vasily, in uniform, carrying his rifle. He reads a pamphlet showing 18 German helmets crossed out. Another pamphlet has 19 crossed out. His binoculars and rifle lie on a chair beside him. He examines, through a small magnifying glass, a photograph of Vasily, aiming through his telescopic lens. Sasha polishes Koenig's boots.
What does this mean?
The little shepherd from the Urals receives a new sniper's rifle, a Mosin Nagant 7.62, the 3.5 power PU telescope, pride of precision of Soviet production. I've seen that rifle close up.
Have you?
I even touched it. I know him well for silly sights, Ev.
Sasha beams at Koenig, who smiles. At night, a Russian gunboat crosses the river. Below deck, Vasily sits on a red-cushioned bench in a wood-panelled compartment. Opposite him, a Russian soldier, Kulikov, sits with his feet and rifle resting against varnished tables, which have on them bottles and a champagne bucket. He stares at Vasily, who takes the gold-filtered cigarette butt from his coat pocket and examines it. Vasily sniffs the cigarette, puts it in his mouth, and lights it. Danilov stands on a small pier as the boat docks. Soviet headquarters, landing area.
When Miller and Anton were killed today, and it was my fault.
No, I'm sure that's not true.
It was a German sniper. I walked them right into his trap.
What else can you tell me?
He didn't relocate. A sniper who doesn't relocate isn't normal. He was very good. It wasn't just his shooting, it was his instinct. He was a step ahead of me all the time.
That's because he knows everything about you. His name is Koenig. Major Koenig. They've sent him here to find you.
Danilov pats him on the arm and salutes guards who stand outside headquarters. Inside, he peeks behind a curtain.
At first, we weren't sure if the information was reliable. It seems he's come all the way from Berlin to stop you. You've caused them so many sleepless nights, they send their top marksmen after you.
So what do we know about him?
He's a major in the Wehrmacht. He's director of their sniper school in Zossen.
Kulikov studied under him at Zossen before the war. He knows all his tricks. From now on, he'll go with you everywhere.
Danilov fastens Vasily's collar.
A nobleman from Bavaria who hunts deer. Against the shepherd boy from the Urals who poaches wolves. It's more than a confrontation between two nations.
He places a new forage cap on Vasily's head.
It's the essence of class struggle.
I'm glad you're so happy.
He had all the advantages. Next time you'll be even. No one shoots like you, Vasily.
Danilov gives him a playful slap on the face and they smile at each other. Vasily looks over Danilov's shoulder at Tanya standing in the doorway.
She's been transferred.
Vasily grins.
I'll see if they're ready for you next door.
Clutching some files to her chest and smiling, Tanya approaches Vasily.
Hello.
You look very smart in your new uniform. Make sure they don't take it back once you've finished.
Yeah. They probably will.
He fidgets with his cuffs and tunic belt.
I've heard the rumour about the German, and I wanted to wish you luck.
Thank you. I'll need it.
From what Konrad Danilov tells me, you're going to win.
It's time.
The press corps in a large hall.
Vasily! Vasily! Come to my arms!
Khrushchev hugs him.
Put your cap back on, you look more heroic.
This way, Comrade Zaitsev.
I love this little fellow.
Vasily, is it true that you volunteered for the front?
Vasily.
How old are you, Vasily?
You know what this duel means for our country?
Is it true you killed your first wolf when you were five?
Vasily, tell us, how many fascists have you killed today?
Proudly challenged by the best sharpshooter in Germany.
It's a sign the Germans are starting to shit their pants. Go on, my boy. Tell us how are you going to deal with him. All right, enough.
One more question, please.
Tell it to the boss. He likes good hunting stories.
Khrushchev guides Vasily to the top of the hall and they stare at a huge, imposing painting of Stalin.
Look at him with pride, because he's looking at you. The whole country is looking at you.
They stand to attention side by side, looking up at the painting. The press corps and other generals gather behind them. Young Vasily fires at the wolf. He misses and stares open-mouthed as it mauls the horse, blood spilling on the snow. Grandfather grabs the rifle, ejects the spent cartridge, and reloads.
Forgive me, Grandfather.
He stares straight ahead as the boy's small hand touches his large clenched fist. Kulikov squeezes Vasily's arm as he lies asleep. Vasily wakes and looks at his comrade standing over him. Sleeping soldiers lie in an underground passage. Pipes jut out from its walls. October the 23rd, 1942. Kulikov enters a ruined factory, his rifle held close to his face. Vasily follows, covering the rear.
So it's not the wolf that chooses the hunting ground, but the hunter.
Covering each other, they step further into the building.
But I'm sure your grandfather taught you that.
Vasily lowers his rifle. A third sniper kneels beside them.
Except, in this case, I'm the game.
He crawls into a gutter encased by wire mesh. The other two follow.
However, today what we're going to do is lure the wolf out of his lair to where we want him to be.
A German soldier with a rifle lies on an iron footwalk above the wrecked factory floor. As they emerge from the gutter, Vasily spots the soldier, pulls back, signals to the others to stop, and points upwards. He pushes a handheld periscope in the shape of a metal spike up through the wire mesh and looks through the eyepiece. The soldier is a corpse, its face grey and eyeless. He hands the periscope to Kulikov. They crawl out of the gutter, scamper across the factory floor, and step between large industrial vats. A hole in the wall leads onto a snow-covered street.
You're the one whose life is valuable. You go first.
No, no. We take it in turns. Next time it's your turn to go first. And then it's you, Volodya.
Vasily runs through the hole and across the street into the building opposite.
Ivan! If it's up! If it's up!
Kulikov and Volodya sprint across the street, diving into the building.
Son of a bitch!
Kulikov fingers a bullet hole in his trousers.
These are new pants. I just took them off a captain from the 251st yesterday.
Inside a burnt-out red brick factory, Kulikov rips up newspapers.
16 months I spent in Germany, at the school in Zossen. Of course, those were the days when we were friends with the Krauts. When our Joseph and their Adolf were walking hand in hand.
Vasily aims at a communications wire.
Here to the wire, 160 meters, right?
The bullet breaks the wire.
155.
Whatever. That'll make them send out a repair guy. Let's relocate.
Vasily stands and walks across the floor. Kulikov follows him, smoking a cigarette made of newspaper. Volodya kneels by a small coffee stove.
Ah!
Volodya burns his fingers lifting the pot, grabs his knapsacks, and rushes after his comrades, running past a connecting passage.
Hey, Volodya!
Volodya runs back to Kulikov. The three soldiers leap across a missing section of passageway. Part of the outside wall has been blown away.
After the Germans invaded us, wasn't the same atmosphere anymore. Threw my arse in prison. What were you doing in Germany, huh? Excuse me, says I, but it was Comrade Stalin who sent me there. Don't bring our glorious leader into your treachery. Confess, spy bastard, confess! And bang! Bang, bang, bang!
Kulikov's teeth are made of metal.
Well, there wasn't a sickle, but there was a hammer. And bang. Knocked out all my teeth.
Volodya stares at him.
That's right, boy. Have no illusions. That's the land of socialism and universal bliss for you.
Volodya looks through the periscope.
Hey, it's your repair guy.
I got him.
Kulikov aims at a German soldier crawling over the snow-covered rubble with a coil of wire on his back. The soldier crumples in a heap. Kulikov turns to Volodya.
It's about soup time, isn't it?
I'm going.
Well, get a move on, Volodya.
And try not to spill it all on your way back, you Marxist bastard!
In a large underground bunker, a German telephone operator hands a piece of paper to an intelligence officer. He strides towards Major Koenig, who sits in a leather chair, smoking.
Is the enemy sniper activity reported during the past 24 hours a major?
Two sentries shot in the train station sector, one artillery observer in the northern sector, one lieutenant from the 24th Panzer Division in the factory sector, three telephone repairmen in the workers' housing sector. They also tell me we have just taken a prisoner who may interest you.
I hope he's still able to speak.
Excuse me, sir?
Nothing. Thank you.
A ruined building opposite the red brick factory.
So tell us, Volodya, which building is he in?
Volodya's face is cut and bruised.
There is no way I know that. He moves around all the time. He jumps from one to the next.
On which floor?
I don't know.
We'll see about that. Undress him. Put him in one of our uniforms.
Los! Da krieg schon, du alte Russensau, oder ich knall dich ab!
A German soldier points a machine gun at Volodya, who blesses himself. then crawls along the ground with the coil of wire on his back. Koenig lies underneath a pile of charred timber, training his sights on the red brick factory windows.
See? They're stubborn. That's the good thing about the Germans. Man, you gotta admit, when they get an idea in their heads...
Kulikov shoots Volodya in the head. Koenig aims at one of the factory windows. Kulikov places a helmet on a lever mechanism underneath the window. He holds a piece of string.
Right. Let's see if our customer has arrived. You ready?
Vasily aims.
And now, our famous shepherd from the Urals, who Major Koenig thinks is an idiot, gets up to make sure he has hit his target. Major Koenig sees him.
Kulikov pulls the string which raises the helmet. Koenig smiles.
Aims for his helmet. Fires. Reveals his position. And is shot in turn.
Kulikov keeps the string taut. Vasily stands motionless, aiming through a hole in the wall. Koenig points his rifle at the window.
Except Major Koenig doesn't fire.
He lowers the helmet.
Because Major Koenig isn't there.
Koenig aims at the exposed, collapsed part of the passageway.
Kulikov!
In the covered part of the passageway, Kulikov and Vasily shuffle underneath the window, then stand up.
Don't you think that was strange? That last one. They sent him out to get shot like the others. It's not natural. Not without artillery, without trying to cover him.
Oh, no, I'm the one that was stupid. They don't give a shit about telephone guys. I mean, it's like us with the Ukrainians. They'd never bother a major over a few dead grunts. Tomorrow, we'll kill us some generals.
They stop at the edge of the collapsed floor and exposed wall. Koenig's gun sight is fixed on the gap.
Whose turn is it?
Mine, I think.
Oh, you're such a cheater! You can't fool Papa Kulikov. No. It's my turn to go first.
Koenig closes one eye.
And it's your turn to get a hole in your britches.
They take a few steps back. Kulikov runs at the gap first, Vasily a couple of steps behind. In mid-leap, blood erupts from Kulikov's head. He turns in the air and falls through the gap. Koenig ejects the spent cartridge. Vasily lands safely on the other side. With Kulikov's blood splattered on his face, he leans against the wall and looks through a hole in the floor. Kulikov lies face up, spread-eagled on the blood-stained rubble below. Vasily sits down and looks at the gap in the passageway. The back wall is smeared with Kulikov's blood. Breathing deeply and mouthing to himself, he wipes his face and takes out his tobacco pouch and cigarette paper. With trembling hands, he spills the tobacco and crushes the paper. Russian headquarters. At a dining table in front of Stalin's portrait, Khrushchev pours Danilov a vodka.
To victory.
They drain the glasses. Danilov frowns as he lays his glass down. Khrushchev sits.
This sniper business has been dragging on too long. What's that little fella of yours up to?
He's probing, Comrade Khrushchev. He's testing the German for weaknesses. He's meticulous in his preparation.
Vodka is a luxury we have. Caviar is a luxury we have. Time is not.
He's aware of that, Comrade Khrushchev. We both are. I assure you he will succeed.
Good. It seems your destinies are entwined.
He pours more drinks, and Danilov gulps his down. Tanya, wearing headphones, sits at a radio transmitter. Danilov approaches, holding a large fish wrapped in paper behind his back. He looks over her shoulder and sniffs her hair. She takes off her headphones.
You're keeping me busy.
She nods and looks down at her desk. He brings the fish from behind his back and shows it to her.
I picked this up at the kitchen. It's from the reception the other day. I thought Mrs. Filipov might like it.
She'll be thrilled. It's very sweet of you.
There's plenty more if you're hungry.
You're Jewish, aren't you?
There's nothing in our religion that says you can't eat sturgeon.
My father had a premonition all this would happen.
You mean the war?
He understood that the hatred of the Jews ran deep. He was saving up to buy some land in Palestine. He said it was the only land that we truly belonged in. The only land we had a duty to defend. He insisted I learnt to use a rifle. I learnt to shoot.
She turns and looks up at him, her eyes brimming with tears.
I know that in times of war, personal feelings should be put aside, but I have a favour to ask you.
Of course, anything you want.
I want to be reassigned.
He kneels in front of her.
What's happened, Tanya?
With hunched shoulders, Vasily walks along a dark underground passage, lit with flares, into a large bunker full of Russian soldiers. He carries two rifles. Candles and lanterns light the bunker. All heads turn to look at Vasily as he lays Kulikov's rifle against the wall.
He shot him.
Vasily lays his helmet down.
He shot him even though he jumped first. Shot him on the run. It was an impossible shot. I've never seen anything like it. You've promised people a victory I can't deliver. I don't stand a chance against this man.
You mustn't talk like that, Vasily. What if I told you we'd found a way to track his movements? We've got someone, Vasily. Someone close to him, passing us information. Next time, you will be one step ahead of him. I promise.
A Russian soldier plays a balalaika.
Now I have a favor to ask.
From me?
It's about Tanya.
Sasha opens the door to Mrs. Filipov's basement. Vasily removes his hat and enters. Mrs. Filipov pulls a net curtain around her bed.
He doesn't even know you exist. But at that moment, you're closer to him than anyone else on Earth. You see his face through the sight. You see whether he shaved that morning or not. You can see whether he's married by, you know, whether he has a wedding ring on.
Vasily to Tanya.
It's not like just firing at a distant shape. It's not just a uniform. It's a man's face. Those faces don't go away. They come back and they get replaced by more faces.
Did Danilov ask you to tell me this?
He likes you very much. I think he'd try anything to change your mind.
Did he tell you why I asked for the transfer?
No.
This morning, a list arrived at headquarters. It was a list of civilians who'd been rounded up and sent to Germany in a convoy that left Stalingrad 3 weeks ago. My parents were amongst them. After 30 kilometres, the German soldiers stopped the train and forced everyone out. In the middle of a bridge, they bound them together, two by two. Mothers with daughters, husbands and wives. They lined them up against the railing, and then they fired a single shot at each pair to save bullets. It worked. The bodies of the ones who died dragged the others under the water. I know they died together. They would have never let themselves be separated.
Vasily leans forward, staring at her. He straightens up and hands her a rifle.
That's Kulikov's rifle. It's a good rifle.
They stare at the rifle. Tanya looks up, wipes away a tear, and gazes at Vasily. Major Koenig places an unopened can on his desk. He reaches into his pocket and puts a small package on top of the can. He unfolds the cloth wrapping to reveal a lump of bacon. He rummages around in his pocket and produces a bar of chocolate, which he balances on top of the bacon. Sasha stares at the pile of food, then looks at Koenig.
I know how he leaves the shelter. He goes to the tractor factory.
The tractor factory is big.
I know exactly where. He crawls through a gutter under a grate, where the vats are. Then he goes out from the workshop. In between the two, there's a place where he's in the open. It's under a long iron footwalk.
Koenig stares at Sasha, then pushes the food across the desk towards him. In the underground bunker, Vasily takes a ladle and dips it in a large enameled jug which sits on top of an oil drum stove. He pours coffee in a mug and warms his hands on it. November the 5th, 1942. He looks at Tanya, who sleeps on the floor with other female soldiers. Tanya's eyes open as Vasily turns to go. A soldier holds out a hand to him.
Good luck, comrade.
They shake hands. Tanya watches Vasily as he picks up his rifle and, accompanied by another sniper, climbs the steps which lead into the underground passageway. Koenig's cold blue eyes gleam beneath his khaki hood. He holds his rifle close to his chest and glides along the iron walkway in the factory, stepping nimbly into the shadows of the twisted metal girders and pipes. He stops by the dead German soldier on the footwalk above the gutter entrance, wrenches the rifle out of its blackened hand, and drags the body to the side. Wearing black gloves, Koenig pulls the hood away from his face, lies down in the corpse's place, and points his rifle at the gutter entrance. German tanks, motorbikes and infantry make their way along a muddy street. Sasha sits under a canopy, a row of old boots on his shoeshine box. He repairs the sole of a boot and looks nervously across the street towards the factory. Vasily and the other sniper climb an iron staircase, their rifles raised. They spot two soldiers climbing a nearby industrial chimney and crouch down out of sight. Corpses lie on a landing which leads to an iron doorway.
I know exactly where he's waiting for me.
Vasily opens the iron door.
He'll be on the footwalk over the gutter. We'll take him out from behind.
They clamber into a huge pipe. Outside the pipe, on the factory floor below, a German tank opens fire. Vasily and his comrade reach the end of the pipe.
We'll get to the other end of the workshop through these pipes. Follow me.
Vasily beckons his colleague and crawls into a smaller pipe. Koenig remains on the footwalk, looking through his telescopic lens. Vasily wriggles his way through the narrow pipe. Koenig turns to see a pipe vibrating, with dust falling from its sides. He stands up and follows the line of the pipe overhead until it descends onto the factory floor, its entrance concealed by fallen debris. Warily, he climbs some steps into a large metal kiln with two louvre panels set low in its front. One of the louvre slats is broken. Inside the kiln, Koenig lies down on a pile of rubble and aims through the broken slat. Through his telescopic lens, he sees the entrance to a pipe which is vibrating. He keeps his gun sight trained on the opening. This pipe lies on top of another pipe, the entrance to which Koenig cannot see. Vasily emerges from the lower pipe. His wriggling movement shakes the pipe above. Koenig has a fleeting glimpse of Vasily's hand and rifle muzzle. The two Russians lie on the ground, concealed by the higher pipe.
You go that way. I'll go around this way.
Okay.
They both stand up, their heads above the level of the pipe. Vasily's comrade is hit. Vasily dives behind a broken stove. His rifle flies out of his hand. He briefly glances at the louvre panel and ducks for cover.
Shit!
His rifle lies a few yards away in open ground. His comrade is near the pipe entrance, clutching his shoulder.
It's okay.
You should go back.
No.
Go back.
I'll be all right.
No, you go!
With shoulders and hand blood smeared, the sniper crawls over rubble to the pipe opening.
Keep your legs in.
He disappears up the pipe. Koenig keeps his sights trained on the stove. Vasily rummages around in his pocket. He attaches a penknife to a piece of string, and, with the blade half open, he throws the knife towards the rifle strap. Koenig glimpses Vasily's hand flicking out from the side of the stove as he throws the knife again. The blade falls on the ground and he reels it in. The bullet ricochets off a stone. Vasily throws again and misses.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
He throws the knife and the blade hooks onto the rifle strap. He slowly pulls the string and the gun slides over the broken bricks and boulders. Koenig aims at the taut string. The bullet snaps the string. Vasily leans his head against the stove and closes his eyes as Koenig aims through the slats. Through a hole in the roof, planes appear. A German bomber shells the industrial chimney, the top of which crashes into the factory's windows. Broken glass rains down and Vasily curls up, his arms covering his head. One large shard of glass embeds itself in the ground a few yards in front of him. Koenig looks through his lens and sees Vasily's reflected face in the glass. Danilov in the Russian bunker.
Comrade Stalin is asking for one last effort! The fate of the motherland is at risk! The fate of all those you love and cherish! It's for them that we fight today!
Listen to me, Tanya. The Germans are throwing everything at us. If they're lucky, 1 in 10 of these soldiers will come back alive. You're highly educated. You know languages. Every intercept you translate saves hundreds of lives. Every message you decode kills thousands of theirs. You have a duty to survive. Vasily was born to fire a gun, is what he knows. You and I were born for a different purpose. If Vasily were here, he would tell you the same thing.
The injured sniper staggers into the bunker.
Where is he? Where is Vasily?
Danilov lowers his head. Below the large pipe, Germans and Russians continue to battle among the smoke and rubble. A Russian infantryman shoulders his injured comrade as shrapnel and debris explode high in the air. Tanya reaches the end of the large pipe and crawls quickly along the smaller one. She stops when she reaches a gash in the metal. She looks down and freezes. A German officer lying on a stretcher stares directly up at her. A Red Cross aide closes the officer's eyes and pulls a blanket over his face. Relieved, she continues to crawl along the pipe. In the kiln, Koenig's gun sight flits between aiming at the stove and Vasily's reflection. Vasily lies with his back against the stove. Koenig points his rifle at the vibrating pipe Tanya emerges from the concealed pipe.
Keep your head down.
Tell me where he is.
Stay into that pipe, Tanya. Stay in.
Stay in. Get your head in.
Koenig's lens flits rapidly between the pipe, the stove, and the reflection. He sees Vasily talking.
Slow down. Don't shoot.
Koenig points at the reflection, then the pipe.
He's over there.
He nods his head towards the kiln. Tanya lies on her back on the ground. Koenig, his face tense, shifts uneasily. He looks up from his rifle.
You see the pillar in front of you? I need you to move round behind it.
Koenig swivels the rifle sight rapidly from reflection to stove to pipe and back again.
Go. Tommy, I need you to find a large piece of glass.
Piece of glass?
Do you see the kiln behind me? The one with a broken slat.
Yes.
This is what I want you to do.
Koenig points the rifle at the pipe, then the reflection. Vasily's breath evaporates in the cold air.
Are you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Light reflects off Tanya's shard of glass, dazzling Koenig. Vasily grabs his rifle. Vasily hits Koenig's hand and blood spurts from it. Sasha stands up and nervously looks towards the Major as he descends the stairs into his quarters.
Hello, Sasha.
With a flicker of a smile, Sasha looks at Koenig's bandaged hand. The Major lays down his rifle.
He was right where you said he'd be. Nearly there.
Koenig places his knapsack on the table.
He's very clever.
He hangs up his overcoat.
Tell me about him.
He pours himself a drink. Sasha sits down.
Why was it his grandfather who taught him how to shoot and not his father?
His father's dead. His mother too.
Koenig places two bars of chocolate on the table.
Does he talk about his father?
No, he didn't know him.
Sasha takes the chocolate.
Did he go to school?
He knows how to write. He answers lots of letters.
Is it girls who write to him?
Everyone writes to him.
And is there a girl he loves in his village?
Not in his village, here.
Does she love him?
Yes. Because he's handsome. Because he's brave. And she is very beautiful. I know her well. She's from my neighborhood. She went to the university. They are handsome together. Later, the two of them will get married.
Sasha looks up from his polishing and beams at Koenig. His smile evaporates.
At least, I think so.
And you, Sasha? Why are you helping the Germans?
Because they're stronger. Because they're going to win the war.
And because you like chocolate.
In the Russian bunker, Vasily dances with his comrades. He smiles and looks across at Tanya, who puts a rolled cigarette in her mouth. A soldier, with his trousers at his ankles, blows out candles with a fart. Vasily sits beside Tanya.
All these people here know they're going to die, so each night when they make it back...
She lights the cigarette.
It's a bonus.
Excuse me.
So every cup of tea, every cigarette... comes a little celebration, because for a lot of us it may be our last night. It's just something you have to accept. To everyone has their time.
A female soldier puts on makeup at a mirror.
In the forest, the wolf lives for 3 years, the donkey for 9.
It's Sorry, but that's got to be a proverb from the Urals. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
The donkey lives longer because he's more useful. It makes absolute sense.
There aren't any donkeys in the forest. You made it up. So...
She leans towards him.
I'm a donkey.
He smiles at her.
People like you and Danilov have to survive this. People have read books, had education. We'll need you when the war's over.
But if you survive, what will the useless Vasily Saitsev do then?
I want to work in a factory. My granddad took me to a factory once. There was this man there, high up on a footwalk. And he wasn't wearing blue like the others. The people he was supervising over, they didn't really understand what they were doing. But for him up there, it was simple, it was clear. And I thought one day, I could be that man.
She stares at him longingly.
Sad to have a dream you know won't happen.
Why shouldn't it? You'll outlive us all. You'll be the oldest donkey in the forest.
He smiles and turns to look at her. They gaze into each other's eyes. Danilov sits at his typewriter in his office. The walls are covered with newspaper clippings and propaganda pamphlets of Vasily. Sasha sits in the corner.
150 metres stand between the Germans and the Volga. Today the whole world is watching these 150 metres. They are what makes Stalingrad the capital of the war.
He looks at Sasha as he takes the paper out of the typewriter.
Your friend, Tanya. Have you seen her?
She stays over there now, with the snipers.
Tell the Major we're sending in all our sharpshooters to support the attack on the factory.
Danilov cuts a photo of himself and Vasily in two.
Tell him Vasily will be there.
In the underground passage, a line of Russian soldiers lie sleeping. Tanya nervously approaches Vasily, who looks up at her. She kneels down and squeezes in beside him, laying her head on his pillow. Gazing into his eyes, she gently touches his hand. Candles flicker in the dingy passageway. Everyone lies asleep. She lifts up his shirt, pulls his braces to the side, and kisses his stomach. She unbuttons his flies, takes off her fingerless gloves, and slips her hand down the front of his trousers. They kiss passionately as he pulls up her tunic and shirt. She unbuttons her trousers and pulls them down, revealing herself. Vasily covers them both with a blanket. Vasily looks up at a soldier coming towards them along the passageway. They lie still, and the soldier walks on. He stops to light a cigarette. Vasily slides on top of Tanya and holds the back of her head. With her hair dishevelled and sticking to the side of her face, she stares into his eyes. Her mouth opens wide as he presses into her. She buries her face in his neck, and with his free hand, he pushes against the wall. He places his hand over her mouth and signals to her to keep quiet. She writhes underneath him, her eyes wide open. He slides to the side and looks at her. Their noses touch. They grasp hands and kiss. She clasps his hand, which he playfully puts over her face. They smile, look around them, and stare at each other. In the printing room, Vasily slowly approaches Danilov, who is typesetting the page of a newspaper. Vasily takes off his hat.
I need to talk to you.
Sure.
Danilov stares at him and looks down at his typesetting.
Danilov? Hmm?
Vasily glances at an old man working beside Danilov.
You have to stop writing about me.
Danilov keeps his head down.
I'm not going to get him because I'm not good enough. Sooner or later, he's going to find me. He's going to kill me.
I've warned you before not to talk like this.
This time it's different.
The old printer stares at Vasily.
You've built me up and out into someone I'm not. I can't carry that weight anymore. I want to fight. I want to fight just as a regular soldier.
I understand. The thing is, Vasily, you're not a regular soldier. You're an extraordinary soldier.
No, I'm what you've made me. Nothing more.
Danilov nods.
Why are you telling me this now? Hmm? What's happened? What's changed?
Vasily looks down.
Did you speak to Tanya for me?
Yes.
Well, will she reconsider?
I don't know.
She should. She'll be much safer, she should, you know that?
Yeah.
It'll be easier to get her reassigned than you. You see, the Germans are preparing another offensive in the city centre. The propaganda battle's crucial for morale. We need you more than ever. Sasha, hold on. Sasha!
He beckons to Sasha, who steps from behind a wall and smiles at Vasily.
Tell him what you know, Sasha.
Hello, Sasha.
There was dust on the Major's boots.
Sasha has the Major convinced he's gone over to the other side.
I don't need to tell you the risks he's taking.
The dust was yellow. There's only one place where there's dust like that. In the back of the chemical factory, a big heap along the tracks.
Vasily smiles.
Well done. Sasha, wait for me outside then.
Sasha walks round the side of Danilov and heads toward the door. He turns and beams at Vasily.
Danilov.
Hmm?
You had no right to use him.
No, I didn't use him, Vasily. He did it of his own accord. You know why? Because he
believes in you!
Danilov looks away as Vasily stares at him.
Tomorrow morning we're going to take back the chemical factory. Sasha's informed the Major you'll be there. So now you know where you have to wait for him.
In the middle of an assault?
I'm following orders. I suggest you do the same. Now I'm aware of the risks. You'll be fine.
Vasily glares at Danilov, who looks down at his newspaper.
Cover it.
Grimacing, Vasily stares at Danilov, then turns and trudges towards the door. Danilov glowers at him as he leaves. Sasha leads Vasily through underground sewers.
That's the Germans up there. And yesterday was the Russians. We're not very far now.
Sasha wades along a connecting tunnel.
Sasha.
He turns.
You're playing a very dangerous game.
I want you to win. See that? Keep going along the river. It's safe. For a while.
Vasily pats him on the cheek and crawls out of a hole in the sewer wall, stepping over burnt-out timber. Crouching low and carrying his rifle, he squelches along a dark, muddy alley. He wears a khaki cape, and Sasha watches him as he tiptoes through the puddles into the gloom of the night. Outside the chemical factory, he crawls across open ground, weaving his way between the corpses. A heap of yellow dust is at the back of the factory. Lying underneath a dead soldier, Vasily smears his face with mud, pulls the hood of his cape over his head, and aims the telescopic lens at the heap of yellow dust. Major Koenig unties his iron cross from around his neck and places it in its display box. He picks up a war merit cross from a box beside it and ties it around his neck. He puts on his black glove with the bullet hole in it. In the cold grey light of day, Vasily lies hidden beneath his cape hood amid a pile of corpses. He steadies his rifle on a dead soldier's leg. His eyes start to close and his head nods. He forces his eyes open and looks through the lens at the heap of yellow dust. Koenig walks along a line of German soldiers seated outside the factory. They watch him striding toward the dust heap, carrying his rifle. A group of soldiers stand to attention. He walks by them to the foot of the dust mound and looks at the factory's corner wall, which is crumbling and has several small holes in it. Vasily aims at the mound. As his eyes close, Koenig appears from the side of the rubble surrounding the dust and scampers towards the factory wall. He disappears behind more rubble. Vasily jerks awake. Koenig squats to look through a gap in the factory wall with his binoculars. German infantrymen crouch behind rubble. Russian soldiers charge from underneath stationary freight carriages. An officer carries a red flag. The Russians sprint across open ground toward the line of rubble in front of the factory. Inside the factory, cold light shines on Koenig as he watches the battle through the gap. The ground in front of the factory is a sea of corpses. A fire burns in one corner of the building. Black columns of smoke rise into the air. A German soldier loots the bodies, stuffing his booty into a sack. He wrenches a gold wedding ring from a dead man's hand and hops to the next corpse. Koenig scans the battlefield with his binoculars. He spots a sparkle of reflected light from a telescopic lens. He lowers his binoculars. The looter steals a watch from a soldier's wrist. Koenig looks through his lens and trains his sight on the sparkle of light. As he squeezes the trigger, the looter squats in front of Vasily, blocking Koenig's view. The major looks up from his rifle, then re-aims. The looter turns Vasily onto his back and rummages inside his tunic. He pulls out Vasily's papers. A German soldier aims his rifle at the looter. He shoots him in the leg as he runs away. The looter raises his arms in surrender. Koenig looks through his lens at the mound of twisted bodies and frustrated lowers his rifle. Rows of tanks outside German headquarters. General Paulus sits in his office with Vasily's papers on his desk. To Koenig.
He's dead. We found this on his corpse.
He points to the papers.
Your reason for being here has ceased to exist.
Pardon me, Herr General. But I do not believe...
There's a plane bound for Berlin tomorrow evening. You will be on it. Until then, I must ask you for your dog tags. Imagine how Russian propaganda would profit from your death. If you fall, you will fall unknown. You've already had a near miss.
Koenig unties the War Merit Cross and pulls the dog tag from around his neck. He hands the tag to the general.
Also, please take this War Merit Cross. It was awarded posthumously to a lieutenant of the 116th Infantry Division who fell here during the first days of the battle. He was my son.
Khrushchev at headquarters.
If the landing is captured, everything's lost!
He picks up a communique from his desk.
Come here.
He glowers at Danilov and hands him the paper.
What did I tell you? You've been playing your fiddle too much. If it's confirmed that he's dead, we're sunk. Well, you're sunk.
It isn't true.
It was intercepted from their staff headquarters. What do they have to do? Dangle his body in front of our men?
They're lying.
That's good. Very good. Write it, then. Vasily Zaitsev is not dead. This is what he had for breakfast this morning. This is a picture of him reading today's newspaper. You're the poet. What? You won't give up the riverbank. I don't care if you've lost half your men. Lose the other half, or lose yourself.
The Russian bunker. Tanya turns around anxiously and stares at Danilov.
Is he back?
She shakes her head.
He should be back soon. The German attack cut the lines, that's why he's late.
He takes off his glasses and looks at her.
Can we go outside?
They walk through a hole in the wall and stand amidst rubble.
I wrote to my mother about you. She wanted me to tell you that once this war was over, if there's anything you needed, anything at all, our family would be there for you. You know I'm here for you.
They're saying Vasily is dead.
Vasily Zaitsev will never see his loved ones again. Surrender! This is your only hope.
In Koenig's office, he lifts Sasha's bowed head.
You're upset. Because Zaitsev is dead? You don't have to hide it. There's no shame in it. You're Russian like he is.
Sasha wipes his tears with a dirty handkerchief.
Don't listen to them. It's just propaganda. He isn't dead. And do you know why? Because I haven't killed him yet.
He leans back in his chair and flicks his cigarette ash into an enameled cup.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. Only you, because I know I can trust you. But you must swear to me that you won't tell another soul. You swear?
He nods.
I found a terrific spot. It's by the exit from the train station. I'll hide in the water tower. Tomorrow, I'll wait for him there. You'll see. He'll be there. He always is.
He drags on his cigarette, picks up a book from his desk, and opens it.
I also want you to swear to me that from now on you'll stay home where you belong. You swear? Yes.
Sasha reluctantly nods.
Good.
Danilov's office.
We know he's alive. We know he won't fail us. We know because he is a part of us now. Vasily is eternal.
Vasily stands in the doorway.
Where have you been? We've looked everywhere for you.
Oh, didn't you hear? I was dead. At least, noble sniper Zaitsev.
He takes off his hat.
Vasily was dead. The real one.
He leans against the door.
Me. I was asleep. And I missed my chance. Then, I was curled up in a corner hiding from a man who wants to kill me.
I'll talk to Khrushchev. He'll send you back to your old division.
Where's Tanya?
She's at the shelter.
I've been to the shelter.
I told her you weren't dead.
Sasha sits behind the door.
The major said so. He said the other Germans were lying. He told me you were waiting for him at the station.
Vasily turns to Danilov.
Vasily.
Vasily picks up his gun and leaves. Danilov swipes the contents of his desk onto the floor. A railway yard at night. A burnt-out cattle truck and freight tanker sit on the tracks amidst metal debris. Koenig looks through his lens from the top of a concrete water tower.
Vasily.
Tanya crouches behind a pillar.
Vasily.
She shuffles round the side of the pillar. Koenig glimpses a helmet through a pile of charred timber.
My little Sasha. I knew it.
Tanya crawls along the ground and reaches the cover of a brick railway arch. She stands up, glances over her shoulder and crosses to the other side of the arch. She peers round the side of the wall and sees a soldier with a rifle lying on the ground.
Vasily.
Tanya.
She swings around and points her gun at Vasily, who stands behind her, hidden behind a brick pillar.
I knew you weren't dead. We've only just met.
He touches her shoulder.
I prayed for the first time since I was a little girl. And when I opened my eyes, Sasha was standing there waiting to give me the good news. I think he loves you even more than I do.
Vasily holds her face in his hands and they kiss. At the end of the covered passageway, Danilov watches them from behind a pillar. Disconsolate, he turns away. Danilov dictates to a typist in his office.
To the proper military authority. I'm calling to the commandant's attention the recent changes noticed in the attitude towards fighting of soldier Vasily Zaitsev. He has attempted on several occasions to escape his duties, voiced doubts on the chances of our victory, and made defeatist comments in public. The inexplicable duration of his duel with the Nazi sharpshooter can only be explained by his lack of belief in the communist ideal.
Sasha crawls along a pipe. Koenig stands at the pipe entrance.
Good morning, Sasha. Once again, he knew exactly where to find me. Don't you think that's strange?
They walk across the yard.
Apart from me, only you knew.
He clutches the boy's collar.
I don't hold it against you, Sasha. You've done a very brave thing. You've chosen your camp. I respect that. But it isn't my camp. We're both soldiers. We're both enemies. So I know you understand. I'm annoyed with you, little Sasha, for not staying at home as I made you swear to do. I'm annoyed with you for obliging me to do what I'm going to have to do.
Through early morning mist, they trudge across the tracks towards a giant water faucet.
I've never seen anyone frown so much in their sleep.
Vasily and Tanya lie beside each other.
How long have you been watching me?
All night. You've been snoring away happily for hours.
I don't snore, do I?
Like a pig.
I suppose I talk in my sleep as well. There's something I should tell you.
He looks at her, touches his lips with his fingers, and puts his hand behind his head.
On the train, coming here, we were in the same car. I saw you. You were reading, and you fell asleep. Scary. Afterwards, I couldn't stop thinking about you. It made me smile. And then I thought of all the men who would get to hold you, who'd make you laugh. How lucky they were.
And now I'm the one lying next to you.
Was I snoring?
Like a pig.
They gaze into each other's eyes and kiss. Slides on top of him. Raising his head and shoulders off the ground, he leans into her, kissing her passionately. She rests her head on his shoulder and opens her eyes. Breaking away from him, she springs to her feet, looks outside, and grabs a pair of binoculars. Sasha hangs from the giant water faucet.
This is what he wants!
Get off me!
No! He'll kill you!
Let me go!
He'll kill you and then I'll run after you!
Let me go!
He'll kill me too!
Let me go!
This is what he wants!
I'll get him. I promise I'll get him. I'll get his rifle for you, I promise, Tanya.
Tanya clutches her rifle to her chest and charges along a network of trenches, weaving her way between Russian soldiers firing over the top of sandbags. Shrapnel rains down from an exploding shell. She battles her way through the throng of troops and finds Danilov emerging from an underground shelter.
I need you!
Mrs. Filipov's basement.
You have to leave now, Mrs. Filipov. Stalingrad, May 4. The last of the boats are leaving. The Germans will be here any moment.
He's brought you a pass. You'll be safe on the other side. You have to gather your things and we'll help you carry them to the landing stage.
I'm not leaving. This is my home. This is my Sasha's home. I can't leave.
I have to tell you something, Mrs. Filipov. Something very difficult to understand. It's about Sasha.
She sits down, Tanya's eyes fill with tears. Danilov puts his bandaged hand to his mouth. Filipov stares at him with fear in her eyes. Danilov raises his head and looks at her.
He's gone over to the Germans. He's betrayed his country. He's with the enemy now. He won't be coming back.
Oh, my God.
With tears welling up, she turns her back on them.
Oh, my God.
Tanya looks at Danilov.
He's become a traitor.
Tanya clasps his hand.
The poor little thing. What has he done?
Filipov turns to them.
So he's going to stay over there?
Danilov turns away. Filipov looks at Tanya, who nods.
Yes. He's going to stay over there.
Down the hill to the docks.
I shouldn't be saying this, Comrade Commissar, but maybe it's for the best. If the Germans have Worm, he'll be safe. I know it's wrong, but perhaps he's made the right choice.
Danilov and Tanya run alongside Filipov. A shell explodes behind them. Through swirling dust, Danilov staggers to his feet. Filipov, with bloody face, lies on the ground reaching for her scattered belongings. Tanya lies unconscious on her back, blood oozing from her stomach.
Tanya!
Grief-stricken, Danilov falls to his knees and grasps Tanya's arm. The dockside is covered with stretchered bodies and walking wounded. Filipov, looking around desperately, kneels beside Tanya, who lies on a stretcher. Officers force back civilians trying to board boats crammed with injured soldiers.
I have a pass! I have a pass! You must let her cross!
Filipov pleads with the doctor as he examines Tanya.
Please!
It's useless.
No!
She'll never make
no,
it.
No, she will! She's my daughter! She's my daughter! I beg of you!
All right. All right, you two, put this one on the boat.
They place Tanya on a small boat packed with injured troops. Scrambling along a boardwalk, Filipov scribbles on a clipboard. She pins the note to a pillar covered with pieces of paper, kisses it, and rushes away. The note, written in Russian, flutters in the breeze. It reads, "I am in good health. They're evacuating me to the other bank. Keep well, my Sasha." The railway yard. Vasily lies inside a ruined building, aiming across the yard. He turns slowly to look at Danilov scrambling over rubble. They sit either side of a gap in the wall. Danilov, blood trickling down his cheek, wears a helmet and cape.
Where is he? Where's the Major? A few inches from your face.
He lines up the sights on the water tower.
I've been such a fool, Vasily. Man will always be man. There is no new man. We tried so hard to create a society that was equal, where there'd be nothing to envy your neighbor. But there's always something to envy. A smile. A friendship. Something you don't have and want to appropriate. In this world, even a Soviet one, there will always be rich and poor. Rich in gifts. Poor in gifts. Rich in love. Poor in love. Tanya isn't coming back. She's dead, Vasily.
Vasily stares through the lens.
She was cut down by shrapnel. It was quick. I don't think she even saw it coming. She was on her way back to you. As soon as she had seen Mrs. Filipov to the boats, she was coming back for you. She was right. You're a good man, Vasily. I want to help you, Vasily. Let me do one last thing. Something useful for a change.
Danilov takes off his helmet.
Let me show you where the Major is.
No, don't do that. Don't do that!
He leans forward. The bullet smashes through the center of his forehead and blood explodes out of the back of his skull. He falls backwards and lies face up. Blood trickles from the hole in his forehead. Under large sheets of corrugated iron, Koenig lies in a pit, peering through his telescopic lens at the ruined building. Smoke drifts across the rubble in front of the building. Koenig lowers his rifle. In the grey stillness of the wrecked yard, Sasha's body hangs motionless from the giant water faucet. Koenig lies in the pit, staring out from underneath the iron sheets, stubble on his face. Koenig pushes his hand through a gap in the sheets and pushes a panel to the side. His head emerges from the pit. He crouches and weaves his way through the wrecked machinery. Danilov lies in the building, his head covered in blood. Clutching his rifle, Koenig steps cautiously from behind freight stock and tiptoes across the tracks. Koenig freezes and stares straight ahead. He looks to the side. Vasily stands between an old locomotive and a burnt-out cattle truck, his cape flapping in the breeze. Koenig's eyes flicker, and he straightens up with resignation. Vasily points the rifle at the Major and screws up his eyes. Koenig takes off his hat, turns, and looks directly at Vasily. Vasily shoots him in the eye and lowers his rifle. Koenig lies in the mud, blood seeping from his head into a puddle. His rifle is tucked under his arm. Vasily looks down at him, crouches, picks up the major's rifle, and carries it into the ruined building. He sits by Danilov's dead body, places Koenig's rifle on his lap, and lifts his friend's arm over the weapon. He leans back, stares up at the sky, and closes his eyes. The fountain with a circular statue of children holding hands. 2 months later, February the 3rd, 1943. Four crosses made of beechwood have snow-covered helmets perched on top of them. A large iron red star is erected beside them. A line of dejected German prisoners of war trudge across the square.
Today, February the 3rd, 1943, is an ominous day for Hitler and the endless columns of hundreds of thousands of German prisoners. It is an unforgettable day of hope for our motherland.
Russian soldiers sing, dance, and fire into the air with their guns. A Nazi swastika flag is set alight.
After 180 days of heroic combat
in the martyr city of Stalingrad, and as a result of the valor and self-sacrifice of our soldiers, the commandant of our glorious Red Army received the unconditional surrender of the German fascist invader.
Tanya lies on a bed in a hospital. She smiles and looks towards the window. Pale light shines on her face. Vasily stands at a desk by the entrance. Two women in uniform look in a large book.
Sorry, Conrad, I cannot find the matching name in the book.
This is the address of this hospital, and this is her name.
Yes, this is our address, but she's not here.
We don't have her anymore.
But this is the address of this place, and she has obviously been here. She wrote to me.
Three times in the books, but she's not here. Believe me, there is no Tanya Chernova. I can't help you. I'm so sorry.
Vasily stares across the crowded hospital floor. Tanya turns her face to the entrance and raises her head from her pillow. Vasily spots her and weaves his way through the rows of beds, which are closely packed together. He stands at the foot of her bed, sits on the edge of the mattress. They stare into each other's eyes. White letters on a black background. Several times decorated with the Order of Lenin, Vasily Zaitsev was later elevated to the rank of Hero of the Soviet Union. His rifle can still be seen today at the Stalingrad History Museum, among the great symbols of the victory over Nazi Germany. In monochrome, Vasily and Tanya smile and laugh. Vasily holds his rifle. Danilov smiles and embraces Vasily. White letters framed by red parallel lines. Jude Law, Joseph Fiennes. Tanya smiles. Rachel Weisz. Khrushchev turns his head to look at Danilov. Bob Hoskins. Major Koenig smokes a cigarette. And Ed Harris. A photo of a soldier running across a bomb-scarred square. Written by Alain Godard and Jean-Jacques Hano. Produced and directed by Jean-Jacques Hano. A fire burns amid twisted wreckage and charred timber. Produced by John D. Schofield. Executive producers Alain Godard, Alisa Targa. Music composed by James Horner. Kulikov smiles, revealing his metal teeth. Ron Perlman. Mrs. Filipov walks across the basement floor. Ava Mattis. Sasha turns his head in the sewer tunnel. Gabriel Marshall Thompson. General Paulus blinks and turns away. Matthias Habich. A shell explodes in the air. The cast. Vasily, Jude Law. Danilov, Joseph Fiennes. Tanya, Rachel Weisz. Khrushchev, Bob Hoskins. Major Koenig, Ed Harris. Kulikov, Ron Perlman. Mother Filipov, Ava Mattis. Sasha, Gabriel Marshall Thompson. General Paulus, Matthias Habich. Ludmilla, Sophie Roy. Volodya, Ivan Shvedov. Anton, Mario Bandi. Red Army General, Hans-Martin Stier. German non-com, Clement Schick. Grandfather, Mikhail Matveev. Young Vasily, Alexander Schwan. This audio description script was commissioned by Pathé Pictures. It was produced by Carol McGregor for IADA Limited. The audio description was written by Patrick O'Kane and narrated by Julian Rindtutt. Recorded at Murricane and Murricane Sound Studios, Glasgow, Scotland, August 2001.